So thrilled to be back in America and in Decatur, Alabama. Y'all have no idea how happy I am to be back. I've been yawning all morning. If you saw me yawning in service, it's not because I'm bored, it's because I'm sleepy. It's 3 a.m. in Tuvalu right now. 3 a.m. So while you all would be in worship, I would be knocked out. And so my body is that way now. I was talking to Jennifer about my trip the other morning about 2 a.m. and she was knocked out. I didn't realize she had already gone to sleep about 12 o'clock. And so I haven't been to sleep since yesterday evening sometime. And I've been trying to force myself to go to sleep and I just can't do it. So I guess at some point I'll get back on the right track, but I'm happy to be back here, and I can't wait till we share our report on some of the things I did. He mentioned we had two baptisms, and we did. We were excited about those, but I'm even more excited about who we taught. We had 104 Bible studies with 67 people, and that is actually fulfilling what God told us to do there, and that is teach people the word. And I am very excited about that, because when we first got there, people were just like people in America. They did not receive us very well. But over time, we were able to get through to some of the hearts of the people on the island. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about faith. I'm excited about this lesson this morning. I want to challenge you, when you study your Bible, and maybe you already do this, but just in case you don't, when you study your Bible, don't use commentaries unless for reference purposes, or don't use articles online or unless for reference purposes. Use Bible concordances, dictionaries, outline references, and stuff like that. But study only this for several reasons. Number one, you keep your mind free from preconceived notions and preconceived ideas. Believe it or not, what you read previous to what you study in here plays an impact upon how you view the scriptures. Even a lot of times after you read this and you read something else, it can have an impact on how you look at scriptures. And what has helped me over the years is I've cleaned my mind up from a lot of, not commentaries, we have some excellent commentaries. I'm not saying that because commentaries are not good. We got some brethren in the brotherhood, past and present, who have done excellent job in the commentaries, excellent job. But it's their perspective on a lot of things and how they see some things. You've got to formulate your own faith based upon the Word of God. And the way you do that is you get in here and you read and you read, and you may say, I can't get it. I can't. You will get it. Sometimes it just takes time for you to keep going over and over and over. And one of the examples I want to share is this subject this morning, and it's the subject of faith. I have studied faith all my life. But as I was reading James this weekend, reading the life of Abraham this weekend, thinking about faith, talking about faith in Tuvalu, and just meditating in my room as I laid down on my bed, and as I rolled through the streets, it hit me like a ton of bricks, something that I have missed and missed and missed. And I think I would never have been able to see this if I was just being led by what someone else was teaching me. And so today I want to look at the subject of faith and how it pertains to our life. Okay? And I want to look at three things. Some of these I've shared before, but in a different light. I want to look at, first of all, the necessity of faith, the fact that faith is a work of God, and then what has stuck out in my mind over this past weekend, that is, faith is seen and not heard. Okay, so let's talk about faith this morning. As far as faith goes and its necessity, we all know Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If I were to ask you today, do you have faith? If I went around this room and I pointed at every individual in this auditorium, and I asked you, do you have faith? And you give me your answer. You say yes, and I say, well, what's your proof? What would you say? I have always understood faith to be just our belief in God and just, you know, a word that describes our whole life. Well, you know I have faith because I'm worshiping God every Sunday. That's not true. Just because you're here every Sunday does not mean you have faith. Just because you pray does not mean you have faith. I illustrate that in just a little bit. But before we can be pleasing to God, faith is necessary and it's something that we must have. But we got to know what it is in order to have it. Okay? It's a work of God. John chapter 6. If you have Bibles, follow along with me, please. John chapter 6, verse 28 through 29. We've looked at this before, but let's go over it real quickly again to refresh our minds. John chapter 6. 28 through 29. And you can use this verse with people who say we're not saved by works. John 6, verse 28, beginning. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Notice, it's called a works of God. Why? Because there are three types of works in the Bible that I've been able to find. The works of men. Titus 3:5 says we're not saved by our good works, our works of righteousness, which we have done. And the works of the law, Galatians 2:16, Paul said we're not justified by the works of the law. So you have the works of men, things that we create. Ephesians 2:8 and 2:9 says that we're not saved by works, it's a gift of God. So we got the works of men, things that we think we can create to earn salvation. You have the works of the law of Moses, trying to live by the old law. And then we have the works of God, which is what we're getting ready to talk about right now. So Jesus answers the question in verse number 29. This is the work of God, notice, that you believe in him who sent you. Jesus says believe. It's the same word for faith. Jesus says belief is a work of God. So if someone tells you we cannot be saved by works, just say, well, that means we can't be saved by faith. Because faith is a work. But it's a work of God. We are saved by works. We're saved by the works of God. Now, what are the works of God? Which brings me to my next point. Works are seen. Faith is seen and not heard. Turn your Bibles to James chapter 2. We're going to start at verse number 14. James is talking about faith. And he is talking about the idea and the concept that faith is seen and not heard. We can't tell people we have faith. They should be able to see it. Faith is not just believing in God. There's one thing that you realize that there's only one thing that separates you and I from Satan? Only one thing. One thing separates us from Satan. Look at James 2 and verse 19. Notice what James says about belief. You believe or you have faith that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons have faith, or even the demons believe and tremble. You have faith? Good. The demon, Satan, also has faith. Good. You and I are just like Satan in that respect. We are just like demons in that respect. Both of us believe in God. So what separates us? What separates you and I from Satan, or you and I from demons? It's because Satan and the demons' faith could not be seen. So if our faith is not seen, we become just like Satan. Look at James 2 and verse 14. Notice what James says. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith and does not have work? Can faith save him? And he gives an example of what he's talking about. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be warm, or I'll pray for you. That's a famous one. That I pray for you. But you do not give them the things which are needed for the body. What does it profit them? James says, if you don't help them, what good has it done? What good has your prayer done? This is why I get sick and tired. It gets on my nerves. Every time something happens in the community, everybody wants to come together and pray. I have no problem with that because prayer changes things. But you know when prayer changes things? When we decide to do things. Prayer has never accomplished anything without works on the part of man. You can pray for every school indicator. You can pray for every community indicator. You can pray for your family. You can pray for yourself as a husband, as a wife, as a parent. But if you don't take the initiative to do something to change the situations around you, prayer is going to do no good. It's going to do no good. James says, faith without works is dead. Verse number 20, he says, O foolish man, that has faith without works is dead. And he gives an example of Abraham. Let me ask you a question before I look at this. And this is what really hit it in my mind when I was thinking about this. You remember the story, and we'll turn over there in just a minute. In Genesis chapter 22, God told Abraham, take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him. Genesis 22, verse 1. Verse 2 says, Abraham got up early in the morning and went. And in Genesis 22, verse number 2, did Abraham have faith? Turn your Bibles over there. I want to ask you that question. And I want you to answer it in your mind. Genesis chapter 22, and let's look at verse 1 and verse number 2. You got to answer the question. You got to be honest now, because this is important. Genesis 22, verse number 1 and verse number 2. Well, actually, verse 1 through 3. Genesis 22, 1 through 3. Notice what it says. Now it came to pass after all these things that God tested Abraham and said to Abraham, and he said, here am I. Then he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and he went. He took the wood and he went. We know the story. At that point in verse 3, did Abraham have faith? Think about it. If you say yes, that's fine. If you say no, that's fine. Here's my answer. There's no way to know. There is no way to know if Abraham had faith in verse number 3. You said, well, Tony, yes, it is, because the Bible says he got up early in the morning, he got his servants, he took the wood for the burnt offering, and he traveled. Okay? That doesn't prove anything. Could not Abraham have changed his mind halfway there? Did he have faith when he got to the bottom of the mountain and he began his ascent up to the place of the burnt offering? Did he have faith then? There's no way to know. He could have changed his mind once he got to the top of the mountain. Did he have faith when he built the altar and laid his son down on the altar and tied him up? Did he have faith then? It is no way to know, because he could have changed his mind as soon as he binded the boy. There was no way to know if Abraham had faith until the command came to completion. Let me show you what I mean by that. Look down at verse number 10. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here am I. And he said, do not, now watch this, do not lay your hand on the lad and do nothing to him. Now watch this. For now, at this very moment, now I know you fear God. It wasn't until Abraham went through the motion of stabbing that boy that the angel stopped him, that God said, at that point, at the moment of completion, at the moment of completion, now I know you have faith. That's important. It's important for all of us. It's important for all of us. Okay? If I don't mean to be loud, but if I'm loud, y'all just turn the microphone down upstairs. It's just in my nature, you know, to be loud. I don't mean no harm by that. So you may want to turn the mic down some. So go back to James chapter 2. And let's look at verse number 21. James chapter 2, verse 21. James 2, verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? Now watch the verse 22. So you see then that his faith, notice this, his faith was working together. His faith was working together with his works, and by works his faith was made complete. You see that? By works, his faith was brought to completion. Let me illustrate that for you. God gives a command. The command to Abraham was, go sacrifice your son. When God gave the command to Abraham to go sacrifice his son, he carried out the process. Or he did the work. He did the work. Carrying out the process and completing the process was when James said that Abraham's faith was finished. It was complete. And so in our life, this is how it works. When God issues a command, and whatever that command is, when we carry out that command to completion, at that moment in time, we can say we have faith. But if we have not carried out the command to completion, we can't say we have faith. And that faith we have doesn't cover all our life. That faith is for an individual thing. You may have faith when it comes to attending services. God said, don't forsake the assembly. That's the command. So you carry out the process and you come to the services and you complete it. You have faith in church attendance. But God also said, be kind to everyone. Here's the question. Were you unkind to somebody last week? You may have faith in church attendance, and it's shown by your work in church attendance, but you may not have faith in your attitude toward people. It's an individual. It's individual things in our life that we do that show our faith. And then I went back to the book of Hebrews. And I started reading the book of Hebrews. And do you know that some people in there were mentioned more than one time? Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Chapter 11. Just turn back a couple chapters to Hebrews chapter 11. And look at verse 8. Notice this here. By the way, you can look at all of these examples. Notice it specifies something that the person did. Noah prepared the ark. Noah's faith in the command to build the ark is specified. God said, build the ark. Noah carried out the process to build the ark. He completed it. His faith was finished, and that example is used for him. But notice what Abraham, verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive, he went. That's one example. God gave the command, go. Abraham got up, he went, he completed it. That's one example of faith. But that's not it. Look at verse 9. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. That's another example. Jump on down and look at verse number 17. Notice another example. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac. That's another example. So you see how God took Abraham's life
And he picked out different things in Abraham's life, different commandments that were given, and the process of carrying out those commandments that Abraham completed. So if I ask you the question, do you have faith? What the question that you have to ask yourself and that I have to ask myself is this right here. What area of my life am I not completing the command? You can't say I have faith because I'm here. Because most people, or a lot of people who come to church services, they have problems in other areas. You may not see it right here, but many of the problems that we have that are not seen right here, all we got to do is put a bug in our home and just listen for the weekend, and we'll see the problems. And we'll see the areas that we don't have faith in. Do we have faith in the area of patience? When God says, be patient with people. Do we carry out the process of being patient with people? By the way, you cannot know you have faith until you're tested or tried. The only way you can know you have faith is if you're tested and tried in the areas where you're weak. That's the only way you really know if you love anybody, until you have a reason not to love. When someone gives you a reason not to love them and you love them anyway, that's when you know you truly love people. But if a person gives you a reason not to love them and you don't love them because of that reason, that's when you know you're not a loving person. When a person gives you a reason to gossip about them and the command is don't gossip, and they give you a reason to gossip and you say I'm not going to gossip and you carry out the command to completion, that's when you know you're a person of faith because you carried out the command to gossip. But if a person gives you a reason to gossip and then you gossip about them anyway, that's an area of your life that you need to grow on, and that's an area of your life that could keep you out of heaven. That one area where you lack faith could keep you out of heaven. Do you agree? One area where you lack faith could keep you out of heaven. Let's close it out with the last example. Matthew chapter 19. And let's look at verse number 16. The rich young ruler came to Jesus. And this boy came to Jesus with a question. What can I do? What do I have to do that I may have eternal life? Matthew chapter 19, verse number 16. And in verse 17, Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want eternal life, keep the commandments. In the next verse, the boy said, which one? And Jesus names all of these commandments. And look at verse number 20. The young man said to him, all these I have kept from my youth. What do I lack? Jesus said to them, if you want to be complete, if you want to be perfect, go sell all you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. Excuse me. Now watch verse 22. And the young man heard this. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Do you see? Everything else in this boy's life was complete. He had faith in all of these other commandments. He had carried out the process. But it was one area of his life that he did not have faith in. And Jesus says, if you want to be complete, if you want to be perfect, if you want eternal life, then do this one thing. Get rid of your possessions. And the boy did not have faith in the command to get rid of his possessions, and he went away. He could have come back, we don't know. But he went away sorrowful. James says in James chapter 2, you keep the royal law, that's good. You break one law, you break them all. The person who only has a problem with lying is no different than the person who has a problem with stealing. The person who has a problem with gossip is no different than the person who has a problem with murdering. James says in James chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, the same God who says, thou shalt not kill, is the same God who says, thou shalt not lie. The same God who says, thou shalt not commit adultery, is the same God who says, thou shalt not gossip. The same God who says, thou shalt not murder, is the same God who says, thou shalt be kind to people that you meet. So we're no better than anyone else because we keep everything except that one thing we have a problem with. So what we have to endeavor to do as Christians is this right here. Figure out what area in my own life, not the person sitting beside you, your own life. Because if you can figure out what area in the person's life sitting beside you they need to grow in, you have just identified the part of your life you need to grow in. You worry about everybody else too much. And so when we identify our areas that we need to grow, and we look at the command to grow, and then we take that command and we carry out the process to grow, we're showing we have faith in that command in our lives. I'll tell you, this has opened my eyes to a lot of things in my own life. Because I thought, you know, hey, come here on service. I come here on Sundays. I'm here on Wednesdays. I do my duties to God that I'm supposed to do. And man, you know, and when I saw this, I said, man, have I been working hard enough on my temper? Have I been working hard enough, Tony, on my patience? And I came to the conclusion that I have been working harder on all these other areas than I have on some of them over here. I thought I was complete. I'm a long ways from complete. Can people see your faith? Better yet, let me close it out this way. Can your closest friends that you tell everything to, can they see your faith? Can your wife see your faith at home? Can your husband see your faith at home? Can the church members here at Austinville see your faith when it comes to making sure the unity of this body stays intact? Or do they see our lack of faith when we do things to tear the unity that's here in Austinville? Let me give you a last example, because I believe in bringing it home to us. If you have a problem carrying out the command of God, means going to the individuals that you have the problem with. When you carry out that command, you've just shown you have faith. But you know what? No one in this auditorium should have to hear about someone having a problem with them. Our elders here should not have to hear about people here having a problem with them. Because if I got a problem with them, you know where I'm going to be with them? In their conference room. And they not going to like it either. I can guarantee you. I'm just kidding. But if I had a problem with them, they would know it. If you got a problem with Mark Posey, Mark should know it. If you got a problem with Tony Edwards, Tony Edwards should know it. If I've got a problem with you, you would know by now because I've said something to you by now. Are we carrying out the faith of God in obeying His command? If you're here today and there are some areas of your life where you may be weak in faith, that's natural, that's normal. The apostles told Jesus in Luke 17:5, Jesus, increase our faith. And we all need our faith increased every day. We all. If you're a child of God and you haven't become one, do so. Let your faith be strong enough to make you give your life to Christ. Repent of your sins. Say, I'm sorry for what I've done. Confess his name and then be baptized in water so all those past sins can be washed away. And if you are his child, and there are areas in your life that you have identified that you need help, the prayer of the righteous avails much. And with the love and support of the caring people here at Austinville, that may be the difference between the strength you need to go on and survive or die, spiritually die in your guilt. But don't postpone to tomorrow, because tomorrow may never come. If you have a need, we want to help you because we love you. Please let us know as together we stand and sing.